I asked him if he liked Rose's dress, mostly to change the conversation. He said, "Not very much, if you want the honest truth. It's too fussy for me. But she looks very pretty in it. Knows it too, doesn't she?" There was a twinkle in his eye which took off the rudeness, and I must admit that Rose was knowing it all over the place. "Well, how are you enjoying your first grown-up dinner party?" Father asked me. He was rather flushed and somehow larger than usual. There was a touch of the magnificence I still remember about him from pre-cake knife days. He had a slight return of it when he married Topaz, but it didn't last. The awful thought came to me that he might be going to fall in love with Mrs. Cotton. She was talking to him again within a couple of minutes. Soon after that, the females left the table. As we went upstairs, Topaz slipped her arm through mine. "Could you hear?" she whispered. "Is he really enjoying himself, or was he just putting it on?" I told her I thought it was genuine. "Oh, it's wonderful to see him like that." But her voice sounded wistful. It is one of her theories that a woman must never be jealous, never try to hold a man against his will, but I could tell that she hadn't enjoyed seeing someone else bring Father to life. After the men had joined us, it was decided that we should dance. "In the hall," said Neil, "because the patrol is down there." Mrs. Cotton and Father and the vicar stayed behind talking. "We should be one man short," complained Mrs. Fox Cotton as we went downstairs. I said I would watch, as I don't know modern dances. "What kind do you know?" asked Simon teasingly. "Sarabands, courants, and pavans?" I told him just waltzes and polkas. "I'll teach you," said Neil. He put a record on the gramophone and then came back to me, but I said I'd rather watch for the first few dances. "Oh, come on, Cassandra," he said, but Mrs. Fox Cotton butted in. "Let the child watch if she wants to. Dance this with me." I settled it by running up the stairs. I sat on the top step looking down on them. Rose danced with Simon, Topaz with Mr. Fox Cotton. I must say Mrs. Fox Cotton danced beautifully, though she seemed almost to be lying on Neil's chest. It was fascinating watching them all from up there. I leaned against the carved banisters and listened to the music and felt quite different from any way I have ever felt before. I had the most curious feeling in my solar plexus. A vulnerable feeling is the nearest I can get to it. I was investigating it in a pleasant, hazy sort of way, staring down at a big bowl of white tulips against the uncurtained great window, when all of a sudden I went quite cold with shock. There were two faces floating in the black glass of the window. Just then the record finished. The dancers stopped, the faces vanished. Aubrey Fox Cotton shouted, "Did you see that, Simon? Two of the villagers staring in again." "Oh, hell, what does it matter?" said Neil. "Let them watch if they want to." But it startled Mother so badly the other night. "I think I'll just ask them not to, if I can catch them." Simon went to the door and opened it. I ran full tilt down the stairs and across to him. "Don't catch them," I whispered. He smiled down at me in astonishment. "Good heavens, I'm not going to hurt them." He went down the steps and shouted, "Anyone there?" There was a stifled laugh quite close. "They're behind the cedar," said Simon, and started to walk towards it. I grabbed Simon's arm and whispered, "Please come back. It's Thomas and Stephen." Simon let out a snort of laughter. He called out, "Thomas, Stephen, where are you? Come in and talk to us." They didn't answer. We walked towards the cedar. Suddenly they made a dash for it, and Thomas promptly tripped over something and fell full length. I called, "Come on, both of you, it's perfectly all right." Simon went to help Thomas up. I knew he wasn't hurt because he was laughing so much. My eyes were used to the darkness by then, and I could see Stephen some yards away. He had stopped, but he wasn't coming towards us. I went over and took him by the hand. "I'm so dreadfully sorry," he whispered. I know it was a terrible thing to do. Nonsense, I said. Nobody minds a bit. The others had heard the shouts and come to the door. Neil came running out to us with a torch. What, my old friend Stephen? He cried. Are there any bears abroad tonight? I don't want to come in, please, Stephen whispered to me. But Neil and I took an arm each and made him. Once I saw Stephen clearly in the hall, I was sorry I had made him come in. He was scarlet to his forehead and too shy to speak a word, and Rose made things worse by saying affectedly, I do apologize for them. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Don't mind your great aunt Rose, boys, said Neil with a grin. Come on, let's go and raid the icebox. I once saw them do that on the pictures, and it looked marvellous. I thought I would go along too, but Mrs. Fox Cotton called me back. Who's that boy? The tall, fair one? She demanded. I told her about Stephen. She said, I must photograph him. What, at this time of night? She gave a whinnying little laugh. Of course not, you silly child. You must come up to London. I'm a professional photographer. Look here, ask him. No, don't bother. She ran upstairs.